The following audio is from Cross Life Church in Tampa, Florida. We are a church that exists to help people find Christ, their place in the body, and their mission to the world. Our calling is to raise leaders and plant churches. So if you live in the Hudson area or near Wesa Chapel, you can also check us out at one of our other locations. For more information, visit us at crosslife.net.
Okay, so last week we started this discussion on being ambassador for Christ in today's culture. And the reality that we discovered that out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, Paul specifically says, you are ambassadors. And it's as though Christ was in you just reconciling the world to himself. And so the message that we have for the world around us is that we just implore them, we urge them to be reconciled to God. So we learn that we are God's representatives here on earth. You know, a lot of times we look in our mirror and we think, God, are you sure that, you know, I get that these other people that you surely you called them and they've got some value and they got something to say, but are you really sure about me? You know, because I don't see myself like that, but the scriptures are trying to, the revelation of God to humanity is not just about who God is, but who God is calling you to be and who you are in him, so that we can understand who we are in God's eyes when we come to Christ. And so we are here as his representatives in then that we provide this link between God and the lost world that's around us that has been separated from him because of their sin, right? So we have been commended as ambassadors, and we talked about what we do as ambassadors. We represent, we communicate the message of the one who sent us. And so what we are commissioned to do as ambassadors is to communicate to the world around us God's message, not our message. And we do that, you know, it's done in words, but sometimes we need to understand it's done in action, because sometimes your actions speak so loud, people can't hear what you're saying about Jesus. You're living one life and trying, you say you live one life, but in reality, you are living very opposite of that. So it's really our words and actions. And let me just say this right now, that there are going to be times now and in the future that your life is not going to match your words because you're in this process of becoming. You're going to trip and stumble over some stuff. You're going to grow in this process. There's going to be those times when there is going to be this refining of fire in your life. There's going to be pruning and purging in your life. And then those moments, you may take some lefts and rights that you're not supposed to take because confusion in your life and the enemy trying to mess up your life. But let me just say that that's a part of the process of becoming. God helping you see that what you need is him. So you'll take a left and you'll just bump your head, bump your head, bump your head. And all the while he's saying, that's not you. Look, I told you before you ever turned left that that wasn't the way to go. You weren't listening. So here's where we are. Why don't you just come back and begin to trust me? And you know, I've watched this over and over in people's lives. They refuse. So I guess some people are just those people that their learning curve is different. How many of you had stubborn kids? And really the only way they learned anything is they had to fall down, they had to bump their head, they had to skin their knees, they come into some pain in their life before they realized, yeah, maybe my mom and dad were right. Well, maybe this Jesus thing, Yeah, I've kept going down that road, and it leads me not where I want to go. And so they finally began to turn around and began to take the steps, and they realized that that was a place that they needed to go. So I just want to say that this idea about us being as Christ's representatives is that is all a growing process. If you could have seen me in my first year or two when I was a believer, you would have. If you would have seen me run around my city on my 900 Kawasaki going 110 miles an hour flying through traffic, you would have gone breaking all the laws, which didn't seem wrong to me, by the way. You would have said, I think really, okay, like your lifestyle needs to like shift, right? Long hair, ponytail, kind of wild, crazy. Are you sure you are His? Right? So there's this process of us becoming. So this idea then is that we are indeed His representatives. We are His ambassadors. Now, we kind of looked at that a little bit, but I'm going to kind of dive into this a little to have a little more clarity about really what was Paul saying when he said that we're His ambassadors. What does that really mean for us? I mean, you know, you guys, you're young and you're thinking, me, I'm Christ's ambassadors. I carry His message. He's watching my life. He's in my life and moving through my life. Sometimes we think, I don't really see that, but let's dig into this a little bit. So I want to read this Matthew chapter, or first 2 Corinthians 5:20, and I want to read it from three translations. And I'm going to read it through three translations. And as I do, here's what I want you to do. I want you to listen, and then I want you to respond afterwards to see what just is kind of hitting you about this verse. So here's the first translation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Tell me what stands out to you. It says, we are now Christ's ambassadors, as though God were appealing direct to you through us. As His personal representatives, we say, make your peace with God. Another translation. So we are Christ's ambassadors, God making His appeal as it were through us. We, as Christ's personal representatives, beg you for His sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered you and be reconciled to God. Here's the last one. So we have been sent out to speak for Christ. It is like God is calling to people through us. We speak for Christ when we beg you to be at peace with God. All right, you want to turn those on? Make sure those are on. Anybody got anything jump out? Keith, and then what's her name?
Candy.
Lollipop.
This on? I'm on, right? The thing that really appeals to me is it talks about being ambassadors, but at the very end, it's kind of like saying that you have to be reconciled to God first. So that reconciliation has to be there, I think, to be an effective ambassador for Christ.
Okay. Candy?
And the thing that I saw that normal ambassadors are just trying to tell people what our country represents. He's representing our country. This is going a step further and trying to bring them almost back to our country, you know, reconciled with God. So it's even a little bit more of a step further than the normal ambassador.
Okay. Robert?
I would just say that I've been chosen by Christ to represent Him. So the fact that I'm an ambassador, he's first choosing me to represent Him, which is just a humbling thing that He would choose me to represent Him.
Okay. Somebody else? Tom, what comes to your mind?
I guess the words that struck me this time are is God making His appeal. It's not just a passive ambassadorship, that God is passionately appealing to people to be reconciled with Him.
That's good. Somebody else? Alexandra? General?
Christ's personal representatives, I think that to be a representative, you need to know Christ very well first.
Okay. Somebody else?
The word that kind of stuck out to me when you read it the first two times was the word appeal, making an appeal. And one of the reasons that you make an appeal is to give more information or more truth that clarifies the situation. I was thinking about making an appeal when there's a judgment, and maybe the judgment has been made, or maybe the decision has been made, and not all the information is known. So us as ambassadors are called to give the truth so that decisions can be changed, so that people can change their lives.
Okay, anybody else? Here's something that, how many of you, before you received Jesus, or you were even in that process and you first come to Christ, had the realization that having come to Him, there was this, that He was going to, there was going to be this service that you were going to do. There was going to be this responsibility that He was going to give to you. You know, for me, I didn't know any of that when I, you know, I just thought, okay, I got to do this because otherwise I'm going where I don't want to be. But having now come to Christ, the thing that He's trying to help us understand is that because we've come to Him, because we have this, we know what it's like to be lost, and we know what it likes to be found. We know what it's like to be in the process of it, having heard from Him, His voice in our life, His nudging in our life, from other people in our life. See, we understand this process. We understand what it was like before and what it's like now. And so Paul's trying to communicate to us, look, what you need to understand is in your being saved, getting to this place, it's just not about you coming and finding Him. It's now that you have come, you are here, we are here, we have this opportunity, we have this ability to help others be able to come. And I like that, implore, because it is definitely this sense of urgency. So, you know, for me, when I came to Christ, I had no idea what that was going to look like. So, you know, we have to understand that now, having received Christ as our Savior, we have these different marching orders. We have to think through our life. Our life isn't just about me and what I want, my designs or purposes. If He's rescued my life, He's got intentions for my life. And His core intention of my life is to represent Him. Just like Israel, they were to be lights to the nations. We're to be lights to the nations. Now, Paul pressing in a little further and saying here, something you need to understand, it's almost like you are His representative. And as His representative, you have a message. And it's so that God is just His, He is speaking through your life. Now, let me just ask, how many of you in here have ever been sharing the gospel with somebody and you realize that the words weren't yours? You realize that as you're talking to them, there is something going on that you don't understand, and your mouth is moving and your brain is trying to figure out what's going out of your mouth, but it's just rolling out of you. You understand that it's just not you speaking. Anybody have that? Anybody want to share about that? Any about that?
First time, it's a lot of times it just seems like when I start speaking with somebody about the Lord or a circumstance in their life or whatever, and sometimes you're trying to think of a verse or trying to think of something to say, and it's all of a sudden it's like you start speaking and it's almost like I'm almost like listening to what I'm saying myself. And sometimes it might last 5 seconds, a couple words, or it might go on for like a minute. Then when I'm done, I'm like, well, thank God, because did you hear what I said? Because I'm not even sure what all I said. I mean, it's just like, it's really kind of cool at the same time. So.
Robert?
I kind of agree with you, Keith. Sometimes it's like you're speaking and you're like over here as you're speaking.
Kind of out-of-body experience.
Yeah, because I've had a lot of opportunities when I'm sharing with some of my family and the Hindu side, and especially I always used to have these conversations with one of my uncles who was a Hindu priest, and there were so many times where we're like at a religious thing and we're in the middle of someone's living room and we're all like, you know, he's leading, you know, certain things, and then, you know, there's a pause and then he and I are talking back and forth, and where the Lord is just like bringing scripture to mind in order to share from the very beginning of creation all the way to, you know, the crucifixion and the resurrection and what will come in a, you know, in the new creation. And God's just like putting words in my mouth to kind of share the gospel. And I always felt like, you know, this is hitting a wall with him, you know. But the crazy thing was I was always in a room surrounded by a bunch of other people who weren't a part of the conversation as he and I were going back and forth. And then, you know, you never really feel like anything's happening. And then, you know, like years later, it's like, oh, you're the nephew that was, you know, talking about this. You know, that really was intriguing. And you know, this uncle passed away last year, and so we were at his funeral, and I had people coming up to me about conversations from like 5-6 years ago and things like that. And so it is cool to see that, because at the same time, after the conversations, I'm kind of like, what did I say? Like, you know, it's like, you know, I'm here, and it's like, you know, well, thank you, Lord, for just sharing, and hopefully, you know, I know your word's going to take root in whomever needed to hear it. So it's just, that's an incredible opportunity to be an ambassador in hostile places.
Anybody else? Go ahead, Susan.
So it was a definitely different feeling working at St. Joseph's back in the 90s when the nun was the CEO. So Sister Celeste was the CEO. You know, every unit, we had chaplains, and I could pray with my clients so freely. So now I work in the federal system, a little bit different. And just like there's no textbook, as much as you try to learn working with people, and you have no idea what they're going to bring up. So I'm so thankful that at least in the first evaluation I do with them, one of the questions I'm allowed to ask is, what are your spiritual beliefs? So what I do, since I'm a little OCD and keep track of things, because I won't remember either, I write that in their chart forevermore. So forevermore, I have it. And so then I know that's an opening that I won't get fired over because they brought it up. And then that way there's just times and I never know when it's going to happen. Sometimes it's their spouse is dying. Sometimes they've got a medical condition that we didn't expect. And so, you know, I can bring it back up. And, like, that's just awesome.
Somebody else? Tony?
Yeah, that happens to me, you know, quite a bit when I'm, you know, speaking to someone or sharing the word of God with someone in a certain place, and then I start saying, you know, all these things come to mind, and the first things that we have to remember is that the Holy Spirit does intercede for us. He does. And the message, maybe we want to say something, but God is using us, like Pastor said, to finish a very important point about what a person really needs to hear. Because sometimes we can get stuck in our own thinking and not really allow for God to speak. I think that's very important for us to allow for the Holy Spirit to speak. That's why pastors, when they do a sermon, they don't really want to do a 30-minute sermon. They want to do a 15, so it goes 45. So, because the Holy Spirit is always saying things to us as we're speaking. And so it's important to understand the Holy Spirit intercede and is trying to get somebody to a different point. That is the main thing. And that God uses us to do that, to me, just plain amazing. And sometimes when I finish, I say, wow, did I really, this place is right. Did I really say all that?
Yeah, sometimes what happens is something like comes out of left field.
Yeah.
You're talking to somebody and then just all of a sudden you say something. You have no idea why you said it. It wasn't in your head to say it, right? And then it's like, okay. Doug?
Yeah, I think it's similar, but here's what's amazing to me is that something comes out of my mouth, and I go, oh, that's good. Where'd that come from? No. And then I go, where did that come from? I want to stop talking to the other person and write that down for myself, right? So I can go back to it and go, yeah, I got to do that. I got to live that. I got to believe that. And I think it's, you know, Tracy, much like you, when I came to the Lord, I didn't expect that I was getting a job. I thought I was just getting a safe place. And then you realize, you know, faith without works and all that. But then you want to do the work, right? So as you start having these conversations, I just think it's so amazing. You know, I work in a place where we don't get to talk about that. So I used to close a door and somebody would ask me a question, then I could talk about it because they asked me a question. Well, now I leave the door open because I want other people walking by to hear the conversation so they can ask a question, right? Mm-hmm. And that's just the Lord going, no, be bold, just do it. What are they going to do? You know, I will never leave you, forsake you to the end of time. I'll walk with you, you know.
So people are watching our lives, right? We kind of grab a hold of this thought that, are you really sure about this? Because I don't really, well, first of all, I didn't know that this was going to be like that. You tricked me, you know. I don't really understand that. And then sometimes it's like, okay, I don't know if I'm really doing that well at that. And so sometimes this can be kind of sobering in the fact that you now realize this privilege and responsibility we have, sobering in the fact that, wow, this is the standard that is set, and am I even getting there? Am I going to be able to get there? So we question ourselves, and that's something the enemy would do. But here's one of the things we need to think about when Paul's trying to communicate this, and we read through Scripture, this idea that we're ambassadors. If we are his ambassadors doing what he is wanting us to do, then we are not limited to our resources. We have his resources. You know, and so we immediately could just begin to talk about, you know, we are given these exceeding great and precious promises. There are these kind of two things at that. You know, Jesus, first of all, said he wouldn't leave us alone and that he would be with us, and he would be with us through the empowerment of the Spirit of God in our life. So we understand that. And because we have this understanding that because we are new creatures in Christ Jesus, things are different. We now have this awareness. So before I was a believer, there was like no spiritual life. There was no open door in my life, so to speak, for God to flow through. But having become a believer now, that's a whole different thing. Him with us, him empowering us, him helping us to become. All right, so 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19, the two verses before that, let's look at this. It says, because we've been made new through Christ, things are different in us and things are different for us. All this, it says, verse 18, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So because of what has happened in our life, we do have this ministry, we have this service that God has brought us into, and we have this message. Our life has a message, and it's the message of what, no matter how well we can articulate this, because I remember when I was first a believer, I couldn't articulate this very well. It's almost like I was like the guy that was born blind and said, hey, whether or not he's from God or not, here's all I know. I was blind and now I can see. So I know that all of us at some point, we come to faith, and some of us, that's all our testimony is at that point. Hey, all's I can tell you, I didn't bump my head. I didn't overdose and my brains get scrambled. Something happened to me, and I don't know what it was, but this is what it was. And all's I can tell you, since that has happened, it's different. So as we are understanding this opportunity that we have, this ministry that he has given us, it's not for us to do, but it's for him to do through our lives. And believe it or not, whether you think it or not, you have a message. Because he's given you this message, and this message is about reconciliation, men bringing men back to God. We kind of are this stand between, just like an ambassador. He is in a country representing another. He's kind of like between the two things. So we become believers, and we are here. We are here having beginning to understand the things of God and helping our friends who've never heard of it be able to understand through our lives. Even the simplicity of our lives. Because the guy that led me to Christ he didn't really know a whole lot, but he knew enough. Basically, his message to me was, Tracy, you're tired of living the life you're living. I'm just telling you Jesus. Past that, I don't really know a lot, but I know that there's an emptiness in your life, and I'm telling you that the only way the emptiness is going to get filled is Jesus. That was the message. And that message, for 2.5 months, irritated the tar out of me, because I realized that I wasn't happy, but I didn't know anything about who this Jesus was. Now, here's an encouraging word in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. It says this, that he, God, has made us able ministers of the New Testament through the Holy Spirit. So he has made us able. Now, look in your Bibles in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. One of the translations that I was looking at, I don't remember if it was the ESV or not, but I have it here. It says, chapter 3, verse 5, it says, not that we are adequate in ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who made us adequate as servants of the new covenant. Now, what are some of the words that you have for there? Competent. Okay. Somebody else? Qualification. Qualified us. Okay. Somebody else? Any other words?
Able.
Sufficient. I like that. So this key word, this key thought here. So we are thinking, who are we to represent God? Well, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's all the qualifications you need, is that born-again experience. That's a starting point. You got enough right there to say. You got enough right there that qualifies you. But you're going to get more because the Spirit of God is resident in your life and you've been awakened and God has given you insight and a hunger for His Word and spiritual insight. So there's going to be more to come. So He is the one that has made us sufficient, able, or enough. And I always think about this, just the enoughness. How many times have you been in situations where you think, yeah, you just don't feel like you have whatever it is you need to get through to someone or for yourself through a particular phase of your life or circumstance for your life? And speaking more specifically here, he's talking about being those reconcilers to the world around you, being servants, carrying and communicating this message. You think, you sure about this? And yet, this again, not that we have this sufficiency that's in ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God because He has made us sufficient. So what we need to understand is, just like an ambassador goes, he has the backing of the one who sent him. Even more so in this way, we have Christ in us. So our sufficiency is from Him. And since we're representing the King and His kingdom and His desires, again, we have access to all that He's promised. They're not our resources. Right here, it's so clear. I'm not adequate, but He has made me adequate. And the reason I use this term is because adequate, it means like, okay, here's the bar. He's given me enough to get over the bar. Next time the bar might be higher, but whatever the bar is. So we're thinking maybe it's in your own family life and it's a child and you're trying to communicate truth to them and you have no idea what's going on, or it's a family relative or a coworker and you're trying to get there and you think, I have no idea. I don't think I have it in me. Well, you do, because he's put it in you. He has made you adequate. So whatever that is in front of you, and think with me just a little bit, that no matter what is in front of you that he's called you to do, if he's called you to do it, then he's going to give you what is necessary in your life to be able to accomplish whatever that is. So it's not just, this truth just doesn't carry through with carrying the message, but it is about you being a messenger, accomplishing what he wants you to accomplish, whether it's big or small. Now, so the reality is that people need to hear this message, this good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it says that, I'm going to skip through a bunch of stuff here. Let me see here. Okay, so here's our official position. You know, we are communicators of his message, and that message is reconciliation. So we are to proclaim to the world around us the fact that at an infinite cost to himself, God has made a way of reconciliation possible. That he has done this by sending his own son to die for our sins, and that through his sacrifice, the barrier of sin has been removed and God and man have been brought together in Christ by his atonement. The gospel, the simplicity of it. This is what we're to proclaim. And here's what I want us to understand, and I think it's very important, especially in our culture today, is that ambassadors, we are to proclaim his message. It's his message. And we are to tell men and women around us that this is the message, and here are the terms of that reconciliation. Now, I know that you all have lost family around you, and I know that you go to functions that you're going to have lost family around, and every once in a while you could kind of step back to not bringing that truth forward when you hear certain things. But what I want us to understand is the necessity as an ambassador that we are to communicate his message. And we're not to negotiate any terms other than what he said. We are supposed to tell them what the terms of reconciliation are. Because I can tell you right now, in our culture today, people are way misguided and have a lot of misconceptions about what it means to be a Christian, how you get to heaven, how you make this right relationship with God, right? So how many of you can kind of throw some of them out? What are some of the misconceptions about salvation and about knowing God and about going to heaven? You got to do it all right. Okay, Keith?
Misconceptions, if you're talking about from a term of Christianity, is that a lot of people say, well, yeah, I've heard of Jesus, and I know he's God, and he came down and died on the cross, and since I know him, you know, I'm good because I know all my sins are forgiven. So it's just such a vague description that they don't really understand the trueness of what really true salvation is. And then there's other people, that even more worldly people, just simply say, well, my good outweighs my bad. But when you're talking about Christianity, I think it's just a little bit of head knowledge about Jesus, but no heart knowledge, no conversion in our life.
Okay, somebody else? Alexandra?
Many people, at least the ones that I know, think that being just a good person and doing good, not harming people, that's enough.
Right. There's the optional Jesus. You know, I have this option to kind of add him to my life and do what he wants, but if I don't, I'm still okay.
Some people think that if they do believe in Jesus, then it's no fun. Like, it's all over. You know, this is just, it's the end of my life. There is no joy there. I've heard that.
Well, yeah, I mean, a guy like me, you know, when this, they're telling me about Jesus, I'm telling this gal, I said, that's Bill, he's been trying to tell me about this Jesus. Well, what church does he go to? He goes this one. Oh, don't go there. You go there and you'll quit dating me, you'll quit doing drugs, you quit running around, you start going to church, start reading the Bible and your life will be different. I'm going, yeah, that's not going to happen because that's not fun. Somebody else?
So some people, they just think that Jesus is something to try. Like, I tried it, just didn't really work out. So moving on to the next thing. And then other people are, you know, like, these are people that I interact with. It's, you know, well, I'm still just trying to discover. I'm still just trying to discover. So the concept of there being an absolute truth, first off, I'm still trying to discover, is that really true? But just, you know, have that fun. I'm still trying to discover if the Bible can really be relied upon, and if that really then means that everything that you know about Jesus can even be, you know, reliable. And then, you know, like, who's to say that, you know, Buddha is not just as, you know, just as valid for me right now, because he works for my life right now. You know, that's the, you know, he's practical for me. Jesus, not quite as practical for me right now.
And there's the, well, God loves me thing. So if God loves me, then there's no way that I'm not going to be in heaven. There's no way. Matter of fact, I don't even believe that he created hell. I don't believe there is one. And I believe that he loves me. He'd never send me there. So you have that. You got the prosperity Jesus gospel. You know, if I accept Jesus, then I'm going to have everything I need the way that I want it. There's the faith, so, you know, if I believe, then if I believe in Jesus, then I can have what I want and do what I want, and my life can go the way I want. And he'll be kind of like, sure, Daddy, and give me whatever I want to live the life the way that I want to live it, right?
That's what, I had a conversation with somebody, and this is a great way to start this conversation. And a guy looked at me and said, I'm good, bro. Yeah. I said, you're not good enough, bro. And and then it went to that God loves me. I said, you know, and you know, you talk about grace and mercy. So if he loves me, he has grace and mercy. I said, yeah, but there's no grace and mercy without justice. Mm. One can't exist without the other. That's the truth that we're talking about, right? Yeah. That my brother was just talking about, is grace and mercy have no place in anything if there's not an opposite side of the equation. You know, if he's not a just God, then grace and mercy means nothing, right?
It's like the verse that says, behold the goodness and severity of God.
Right.
Hmm. Anybody else? Tom, you got a thought about that? Nope.
You're good, bro? Yeah. Well, all the things that have been said here are true. Nevertheless, you know, nothing happens because people have not really surrendered their life to Jesus. There's a big difference. So what does the word surrender mean? How can we do the Great Commission, right? How can we share the gospel with others if we first have not surrendered our lives to Jesus to begin with, and then surrender our lives every day and die to sin every day? So people just don't understand anything else because they don't even know what surrendering is. So they continue to live in this world of, you know, they continue to live the world, the things of the world. That's what they do every day. So they're blinded. But the word surrender to me is everything. Now, the problem is a lot of them that surrender don't understand something very important that a lot of you may be able to understand, is that there's a process to that and all that stuff. But here I believe that we're talking about people that reject God, because in the world there's only two types of people: those that believe, that want to believe, and those that don't, and they choose not to.
So, what I want to try to kind of encourage us with is: so we are to make known, to explain. And I don't know if enforce might be strong, but, you know, we are to make known and explain and make clear the terms of God's reconciliation. So that's one of the things. When an ambassador goes to a foreign country, he's going to go, these are the terms of the United States of America right here. I just really need you to make them clear. It's this and not that. It's this and not that. Not that, not that. It's this. And I think that that is probably one of the things that I know in my family, you know, they always make crazy statements. You know, well, you know the Bible says, and they'll say something that I don't know where in the world they got that from. Oh, they said, well, you know, I can believe whatever I want, and when I die, of course I'm going to go to heaven. Well, you know what that does to me? My mind is going, you know, because I'm going, and my mom, at one point in time, she says, Tracy, when we go to the family Christmas at Grandma's, just don't say anything about Jesus. Huh? Yeah, it's going to cause problems. I say, you know what? I never go in to say anything. But they say something that I'm going, just so you know, that is not true. I don't know where you got it, but there's nowhere in the Bible. This is what the Bible has to say about that. And I think it's really important, and there's ways. There's so many, there's times I've been in conversations where somebody has said something crazy, and I went, that's interesting. And I just walk away. They're going, whoa, whoa, wait, what do you mean? Well, it's interesting. Where did you get that? I don't understand how that all works. Tell me how that works. And they'll be talking, and they're tongue-tied because they can't go very far. Most lost people are so blind, they can't go very far in explaining anything concerning truth. So then I just say, well, that's really not what the Bible has to say about that.
Funny, I said this too. Actually, in a conversation with my father, you know, I said, don't Google it, Bible it.
Mm.
If you're going to say that it says this, show me. Show me the reference, you know. Let's fact check, right? The world loves to fact check, you know. What this politician said was not true. What this one said, you know. Okay, so when they, you know, say something, I say, where is it? Just turn to the page.
Mm-hmm.
I think there has to be, it has to be a little forceful.
And will a lot make of the unpopular,
and a lot of that's going to be, you know, they open it up and they look and they go, oh, that's not what it says. Okay. I mean, that's a huge step for some people,
mm-hmm.
because there is this misbelief of what it is. I mean, you know, that whole, this is not fun. Being a Christian is not fun. Why would I do that?
And the reality is when you stand there, if I'm understanding my scriptures correctly, when you're standing there to represent, he is making his appeal through your life. So there will be words. And sometimes they won't make sense to you. I've said stuff just way out of left field in a conversation, and I got done, I go, why did I say that? That was stupid. 2 weeks later, they go, you know, you said this to me, and man, that really just, man, how did you know? And it was like, I didn't know anything. But he was making his appeal through me. So I just want to encourage us in when you're in places, you know, and I'm not going to say that at the moment something's said, you just got to rebuttal it right then, because it might not be the time and place, and yet it may. So we just need to use wisdom, but we can't let things go. I mean, the reality again is that the ambassador does not promote their own welfare or seek their own honor, dignity. They don't do or say what they think they want to or what is best. There's no negotiation here. They are to communicate this message that God has given them. But they go to transact the business which the Son of God himself would engage in if he were here present on earth, because the ambassador is a representative. So if I am the ambassador, I am here, I am representing somebody, and if I were not here and he were to come, so you tell me what Jesus would say to somebody when they make some of those claims. So we just need to know that the scribes and Pharisees, they kept approaching him, trying to mess him up. And he's going, they ask a question and he just, ch-ch-ch-ch. They say things and he just goes, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. He just laid truth back to them. Not yet. Well, you've heard it said, but I say unto you, oh, you are misled and don't understand the scriptures. So we need to realize that we're in this situation that we find ourselves in, and many have not heard the message or they have misheard it. And so as God's ambassadors, we're here to represent and we're here to encourage and help them to understand and make clear the terms of God's reconciliation toward humanity. That's our service in the kingdom of God. We bear this service and we bear this message because of what has taken place in our life. And if we think we can't measure up or we don't measure up, we just see ourselves wrongly because He has made us able. There's a sufficiency that God has planted in our life to do what God is asking us to do. Amen? All right. One last thing. John 20:21 says this, as the Father has sent me. So think about this. So Jesus was a representative of the Father in heaven in His humanness. And He did in His humanness, what did He say? I can't say anything unless the Father tells me to say it. But everything that the Father says, I'm going to say. Now He says, as the Father has sent me, all right, I am sending you. And the same terms apply. As the Father has sent me and empowered me and it gave me the ability to do this, I'm sending you and I'm going to empower you and give you the ability to do this.